Hey everybody, this is Bob Z, the pastor of Joy Christian Fellowship. I want to thank you for tuning into our podcast. I hope it's a word that will encourage you today. Let's remember in these challenging times we're living that God is still in control and that his love for us endures forever. Amen. God bless. We need the Lord more, don't we? More than yesterday. More than words can say, more than ever before, we need you, Lord. May that be the cry of our hearts this morning and every morning. We need you, Lord. We just sang, more than the air we breathe, more than the songs we sing, more than our next heartbeat. Wow. More than anything. More than anything. Anything? Really? That's what we sang out loud. We declared it. Did we mean it? Or is that just some lyrics to a song we know? Because if we really mean it, there's a good reason for it. Like the song says, because I never want to go back to my old life. Some of us were discussing how we never thought we'd see 30, let alone 70. So it's God's grace. Oh, man. Never want to go back. Now, we know we need more of Jesus, right? But do we really want more of him? Do we hunger for more of Christ in our lives? Or do we feel like we have enough of him, thank you very much? Or do we think, oh, I'm going to cut back on Jesus this year. You know, I'm going to limit my intake of Jesus this year. I have as much of him as I want. Maybe not as much as I need, but as much as I want. Always a big difference between how much of him we need and how much we want. Because I know a lot of good old church folks who have just enough of Jesus to bore them, but not enough to really transform them. And they're okay like that. He is their co-pilot when he needs to be their pilot. He needs to be the captain of their ship. He needs to take the wheel, right? It's like, move over. You're going the wrong way. Let me drive. Now, remember, we got to remember, there is absolutely no lack on Jesus' part, all right? There's no lack of hunger or desire in Jesus for you and for me. He is absolutely head over heels, madly in love with every one of us. And look what he's done for us. Look what he did on the cross for us. Pierced and crushed. Crushed for our sins. And the punishment that brought you and me peace was upon him, not us. He took it all for us. He did all the heavy lifting. He did all the hard stuff. Brutal. So there's no lack of hunger. There's no lack of desire for us in Jesus, but is there maybe a lack of desire and hunger for him in us? Because if we're really seeking more of Jesus, I hope we are. Are we seeking him for the right reasons? Let's look at that today. The title of this morning's message is Seeking More of His Presence. Yeah, seeking more of his presence. Well, it's going to be in John's Gospel, chapter 6, Hebrews 10 and 11, and Jeremiah 29. So, Lord, open your word up to us this morning. Let there be authority and let there be power on your word in this room this morning. Let there be a liberating grace released here this morning. Give us ears to hear what your Spirit is speaking to us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, I think the biggest battle, the biggest obstacle we have for hungering and seeking more of Christ in our lives is thinking that where we are spiritually is okay, that it's good enough. Plus the fact that when we're already full, we're not as hungry, right? Maybe we're full of the wrong stuff. Maybe we're full of the wrong stuff instead of the right stuff. Maybe we're so full of the world's stuff that there's no room for God's stuff, and we think we're okay spiritually. It's good enough. It may seem to be okay, but let me tell you, it's not good enough. If we have no hunger, if we have no desire for more of God in our lives, then we're not going to experience any more change or any more growth in our spiritual lives. This is to be an ongoing process. You know, the little song, "He's Still Working on Me," that's not just for kids. He's still working on me. But if we don't have any hunger, a desire for more of him, we won't have any change in our thinking or in our actions. If we have no hunger for more of God, we may just have a religious spirit that will keep us busy until Christ returns or we go home first. Remember after the miracle of Jesus feeding the thousands and thousands of men, women, and children with only two fish and five small loaves of bread, thanks to that generous kid that remembered to bring his lunch? Jesus and his disciples are exhausted, and they leave, and they cross over the sea to Capernaum to take a break, get a little rest. And the next day, all the people showed up again for another fish and bread buffet, but Jesus and his disciples weren't there. They're looking around and go, But instead of them going home, they get in boats. They cross the sea looking for him. And they found Jesus, and they asked him, "How did you get here, Jesus? When did you get here, Jesus?" And Jesus knew what was up. He told them, "I know why you're here. You're not following me because of the miraculous signs you saw. They weren't following him because of his teaching. You're following me because you got your bellies full." He told them, and he's telling us, don't work for food that spoils. You hear that? Don't work for food that spoils. Don't spend all your time and energy and money on the temporary stuff. Work for food that lasts. Work for food that endures to eternal life. The kind of bread that I can give you because, hello, I am the bread of life. You got that? He's telling me, Jesus, I'm the bread of life. Let me satisfy your spiritual hunger, not just your physical hunger. You know, Jesus said, if we come to him, we'll never go hungry. You know, I like to eat probably more than most people. And I'll eat a big meal. I'm full for a while, but then I get hungry again. And he said, if you come to me, you'll never go hungry. Wow. And if we believe in him, he tells us we'll never be thirsty. Double wow. Now, I hardly ever use the Message translation of the Bible, but I really like the way Jesus addresses this crowd that followed him across the sea, wondering when lunchtime was. John 6, let's look at John 6, verse 26. Jesus answered, "You've come looking for me, not because you saw God in my actions." And I wonder, do people see God in our actions? Man, I hope so. "You've come looking for me, not because you saw God in my actions, but because I fed you, filled your stomachs, and for free." Everybody loves a free lunch. And God used some people to really bless Bobby and I at Christmas time and at our anniversary. And back in January when we were sick, we not only got free lunch, free dinner, we got free breakfast too. Now, other people bought the gift cards. Other people brought us the food, but because of their kindness, because of their generosity, we didn't have to pay for it. It was free for us. God really blessed us. I mean, blesses us all the time, but he really used some special people to bless us during that time. But everybody loves a free lunch, right? Used to be a saying, there's no such thing as a free lunch. Well, just like the people Jesus miraculously fed with the fish and the bread, everybody loves a free lunch. But that's not why we should follow Jesus. All that will do is give us a lazy spirit. And that will encourage us to do less and expect more. Kind of like the government does. More free lunch, more free this, more free that. Hey, with Jesus, we won't have to plant as much grain. With Jesus, we don't have to bake as much bread. With Jesus, we don't need to catch as many fish. He only needs two. Right? Look what he did with two. Do you see how easily that kind of thinking can create a lazy spirit? And laziness is not a spiritual gift, by the way. Look what he tells him. Look what Jesus tells him in verse 27. He says, don't waste your energy striving for perishable food like that. Work for the food that sticks with you, food that nourishes your lasting life, food the Son of Man provides. He and what he does are guaranteed by God the Father to last. Guaranteed by who? by God the Father. That's a pretty good guarantee. That's a better guarantee than L.L. Bean has, and they have a pretty good guarantee. But this one here, much better by far. He, meaning Jesus, and what he does are guaranteed by God the Father to last. Man, work for food that sticks with you. Food that nourishes your lasting life. I like that, your lasting life. Food the Son of Man provides, that's Jesus. He's the bread of life. He's our eternal bread that lasts. So this should make us look at our lives and honestly ask ourselves, why are we following Jesus? Or are we even following him? I hope so, but why? Is it because we're so in love with him that we can't stand to be out of touch with him? Is it because our devotion for him is far greater than our devotion for anything or anyone else? Or do we follow Jesus because he's like this cosmic vending machine, just full of all these goodies and pleasures that we want? And if we say the right thing and we pray the right prayer, and don't forget to tack on the "in Jesus' name" to make it legit, if we push the right buttons, we get some kind of treat or gift, something our flesh desires. That's the food that spoils instead of the food that lasts. Is that why we follow Jesus? Why are you following Jesus? Why am I following Jesus? Are we even following him? Because believe it or not, a lot of people in the church who are not really following Jesus. They may believe in Jesus. They may believe in his teachings. They may believe in his resurrection. They may believe in his promise to come back for us someday. Those are all good things. But you can believe in someone or something all day long and never get your butt out of the recliner. But if we're going to be true followers, all right, not just believers, that requires us putting down the remote and getting up and actually doing something if we're going to be true followers. When Jesus told Peter and his brother Andrew, "Follow me," they couldn't follow Jesus and stay there with their nets, could they? As Jesus walked away, they could have said, "Yeah, we're following you," and just sat there with their nets. They had to drop their nets. And they had to get up, and they had to go in his direction if they were going to really follow him. See, if we want to be a true follower of Christ, if we really want to seek more of his presence, like we sang, then we're going to have to drop our nets, whatever those nets represent in our lives. See, those nets to those fishermen was their security. They knew how to do these things. To follow this man, that was going to require dropping this. That was bold. So whatever those nets represent in our lives, whatever it is that is keeping us from really following him, we need to drop our nets. And we need to get up and go in the direction Jesus is going in if we're going to really follow him. I hope that makes sense. But that sounds like that could be really inconvenient for us, doesn't it? Yeah, it sure does. It is inconvenient for us. Going to the cross could have been really inconvenient for Jesus if he was only thinking of himself, right? But he wasn't. He was thinking of you, and he was thinking of me, and he was being obedient to the Father. And so a lot of people in the church aren't really following Jesus, and you could see. You see it in their priorities, what they value, where they spend their time, where they spend their energy, where they spend their money, which is actually God's money. I mean, he supplied it, and it all belongs to him, but we act like it all belongs to us, right? It's all ours. We say we love Jesus, but we still want to date this attractive world we're living in. That doesn't make for a healthy relationship, does it? Because we still like being entertained by all the worldly delights, no matter how innocent some of them may seem. Some of us get so attracted, or maybe I should say get so distracted by that stuff out there that little by little they begin to disconnect from the body, from their community of faith. And then they wonder why they don't have that close, real, personal fellowship with others. We need to realize we need each other, okay? We all need Jesus, but we need each other as well. We're created for community, and God has great reasons for putting us together here. We're from all over the place, right? I'm from New Jersey. Tony's from California. Scott's from Michigan. William, where are you from? Polk County. See, he's from another nation altogether. Rob's what, St. Louis? Missouri? I know Chris is 37311. If he ever gets lost, you just throw him in a mailbox. He's got his zip code on his arm. Lisa's from Louisiana. You're from Louisiana, right? Yeah. So we're all here together. Who could have arranged that besides God? So he's put us here for a purpose and a reason. But if we don't show up when the community of faith gets together, then we miss that opportunity for connection. Yeah? As a church body, you know, we don't meet three or four times a week like a lot of places. We have a men's breakfast once a month, but we only have one worship gathering a week. This is it, Sunday mornings. Now, I know we can't be here every Sunday. Sometimes we're out of town. Sometimes we got to work. Sometimes we're sick. Sometimes our kids are sick. Whatever. I know that. But if we just choose not to be here for whatever reason, we miss a connection. Think of this. If we miss one Sunday here, you're missing the fellowship here for 13 days. There is no Wednesday night to come back to. That's almost half a month, 13 days. But just that's just missing one Sunday. Now, I'm not talking about texting each other because I know we do that all throughout the week. I do it myself, so I know there's connection there. I'm talking about worshiping together like we just got done doing in God's presence under one roof. To me, there's just something special about doing that, praying together, praying for each other. Now, can you worship the Lord at home? Absolutely. Absolutely. We were kind of forced to do that for 10 weeks when everything went crazy and was shut down. We couldn't meet in 2020. Can you hear good teaching and preaching on TV, on YouTube, on a DVD, or listen to a podcast? Absolutely. But to worship together collectively, to come together collectively as a church family, which was so beautifully demonstrated up here last Sunday, that's what we are. I mean, as jacked up as we are at times, we are a family. We're not a corporation. We're a family on this journey of faith together, seeking more of our Father's presence together under one roof. So to be together in community, experiencing that koinonia is the word for it, we get one shot at it a week. This is it. So that comes back to priorities and what we value and what we're committed to. I haven't been to a live concert in a long time, but I used to drive for hours and stand in line for another hour and a half waiting to see a band I really wanted to see. I know I've gone to some pro football games, cold up in New Jersey, Philadelphia, freezing temperature. And my uncle said, look at this. People standing in line, freezing, waiting to pay money to go sit in a stadium and watch two teams, they know nobody on either side, play a football game. And they're going to pay good money to go in. How many people do you think would pay to go to church? Where was I? All right. Comes back to our priorities, what we value, what we're committed to, what our kids see that we value. Is this worth it to us? Is this community of faith worth 2, maybe 3 hours once a week to us? I hope so. I mean, it sure looks like it when everyone's out in the lobby hanging out, talking when we finally get started in here. It sure looks like it when we try to shift from our greeting time to our offering time and people are still enjoying conversation with each other. Oh, I hate to break those times up. I love seeing relationships form and grow. So do we value coming together to worship together, to hear the word together, to pray together, to eat pizza together, to speak into someone's life and have someone speak into ours? to get a word from somebody during worship, to minister to each other as we're seeking God's presence together. He didn't create us to be lone rangers. He created us to do life together, to help each other along the way. Some days I may need to help you. There are days you may have to help me. But that's why he put us together. I hope that's important to you. Look at what the writer of Hebrews tells us in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25. He says, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. That's what we need to be involved in, acts of love and good works. We need to be in this together. Listen to verse 25. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now. Hey, I got to tell you, there's a fine line between letting somebody know you care and bugging them. And I've always been sensitive to that when people would bug me. I said, man, I don't want to be like that. I don't want to be, if you see me and I haven't seen you in a couple of, oh, here comes Bob. He's going to ask me why I haven't been in church. I don't want to be that guy. I've been guilty of that. But I'll reach out to people. I'll say, oh, well, so-and-so hadn't been here. I'll just text them. Make sure everybody's okay. So I hope you take that as a concern, not a pestering you like, hey, I can't be weren't in church today. All right? Anyway. But he says, let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. It's hard to encourage you face-to-face, Scott, if you're not here. Now, yeah, we could FaceTime each other, so, you know, technology has done that. But there's something different. I don't want to sit across from a phone FaceTiming somebody. I want to sit across from somebody that's there in the flesh talking. But sometimes technology has been very convenient. But especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. Time is short, folks. Look around. The Bible tells us to be alert, be sober-minded, be watchful. The day of his return is drawing near. So we can't do this on our own. We can try. But we need to keep meeting together. We need to keep encouraging each other. That's a biblical command. We need each other, like I said, and we all need Jesus. And we need more of Jesus influencing us than what we got. We need more of his presence in our lives, not just his teachings and doctrines. We need, of course, we need those, but we need more of his presence in our lives. And we need a greater awareness of his presence, right? Because he's here. He's here this morning. And when we know we need something and we want it bad enough, we'll seek it, right? We'll go after it. We'll go out of our way to find something we want bad enough. And we won't give up until we find it. So how bad do we want more of the Lord's presence in our lives? When we say we're seeking the Lord, we mean we're seeking his presence. That word presence, it's a common translation of the Hebrew word for face. Right? You hear about seeking his face. So we're saying we're seeking his face. That's the Hebrew way of having access to God, to be before his face, to be in his presence. But aren't God's children always in his presence? What do you think? Are God's children always in his presence, yes or no? What do you think? I say yes. I say yes in two senses. First, in the sense that God is omnipresent. Therefore, he's present everywhere, all the time. So he's always near us. His power is ever present in sustaining and governing all things. And second, I say yes, he's always present with his children in a sense of his covenant promise to never leave us nor forsake us. Jesus says, behold, I am with you always. That means always. Even to the end of the age. But there is a sense, and we all feel it from time to time, in which it feels like God is distant, right? It feels like he's nowhere to be found at times. But we know we can't go by our feelings, but I believe God knows that sometimes we do go by our feelings. So his word repeatedly calls us to seek the Lord. Seek his presence continually. It's not on the screen, but Psalm 105, verse 4, in different translation, it tells us, seek his face always. Search for the Lord. continually seek Him. Seek the Lord. Seek His presence continually. Now, let's face it. God's manifest presence, His manifest presence, is not our constant experience, is it? Now, if it is for you, praise the Lord. Tell me what I'm doing wrong, because I want more experiences with His manifest presence. Some of you know who Bob Jones is. He went back and forth to heaven like you'd go to Walmart, you know. He thought, oh, I was in heaven. Now he's passed on. He's made his permanent residence there. But he used to travel back and forth like that. I thought, wow. But that's a guy who has sought God practically all his life. And we love those times when His presence is thick. And we've had times in worship, in prayer, when God's presence was obvious, right? You could tell it. When we used to have live worship, you guys could tell it. You could sense the presence of God. We could sense it out here. I'll always remember a time at a friend's home. There were probably 8 or 10 of us in the middle of some sweet time of prayer and worship. And we're praying, and my eyes are closed, and I get this really strong smell, this really strong fragrance I smell, better than patchouli oil. Really strong, really pleasant aroma. And I didn't open my eyes. I thought maybe somebody next to me poured out some lotion from Bath and Body. But so after we were all done, I said, hey, when we were praying there, just did somebody have a bottle of lotion? Did somebody crack open a bottle of lotion or spill something like that? I said, no, why? I said, oh, man. I said, I just had this really strong, pleasant aroma. And this guy said, that was no lotion. That was the fragrance of the Lord. Ugh. That was the fragrance of the Lord. And it was wonderful. And it was so strong. My mom used to wear a really strong perfume, but it'd give you a headache. I'd roll the windows down in the car if I was taking her anywhere. I said, Mom, please, don't use so much perfume. That's different. This was strong, but man, it was awesome. We need more of those kind of holy visitations where God's presence manifests in the midst of people seeking more of Him. I don't want to just read about other people having those encounters. I want us to have those encounters. Because you know what? If we're really hungry for Him, He'll show up. Yeah? If we're really hungry for Him, He'll show up. He's attracted by our hunger for Him. I know that for a fact. That's not just a feeling. I experienced it. And it was wonderful. But those kinds of times are not our constant experience. We're not constantly living like that. Because there's other times when, quite honestly, we neglect the Lord. Our thoughts are not on Him. Or we don't put all our trust in Him for certain decisions we're making. Or we're busy pursuing other things. Or we're working. Or we're parenting. Or we're sleeping. Sleeping? What's that? Right, Hannah? Hey, I finally got my 8 hours of sleep. Took 3 nights, but I got my 8 hours. Okay? But when we get too focused on the stuff of this world, it's as if the Lord's face is hidden behind a curtain or a screen. That's why the Bible tells us, seek His face continually. Seek His presence continually. And God invites us to enjoy a greater awareness of His beauty and His majesty and His supreme greatness. But all of that can be covered up by our own self-centered pursuits. That's why we need to seek His presence continually, right? What does that really mean, practically speaking? Because both the Old and the New Testament say it is setting our mind and our heart on God. And I like this explanation. It is the intentional focusing of our mind's attention and our heart's affection on God. That's worth repeating. It's the intentional focusing of our mind's attention and our heart's affection on God. Now, these verses aren't on the screen either, but listen to these. 1 Chronicles 22:19. It says, now, set your mind and your heart to seek the Lord your God. The Apostle Paul tells us in Colossians chapter 3, set our minds on the things that are where? Above. The things that are above, not on the things that are on earth. Now, I know we eat, sleep, walk, work, do everything in the natural world. right? So we've got that. We've got time frames. We've got to be here a certain time. We can't just drift off. But this has to be a conscious choice to direct our minds and our hearts toward God. But we know we have an enemy, and we know he's always trying to distract us, and he's always trying to turn our hearts away from seeking God. And he'll put all kinds of stuff in front of us, give us all kinds of supposedly good things that we can be doing. And if he's effective enough, he'll keep us away from pursuing God with our hearts and our minds. Because let's face it, there's always going to be something we need to overcome or go around when we're seeking God's presence. How many times have you been in a prayer circle and somebody's phone goes off? Never fails, right? There are endless obstacles, endless distractions that we got to get around in order to see him more clearly. And some of you may be battling an obstacle or a distraction right now, and just trying to listen to this and receive what God is trying to give you right now. So Lord, I pray against any distracting spirit, anything that would hinder anybody here from hearing what you are speaking to us this morning. Amen. Of course, if that happens, you can always listen to the podcast, right, Chris? See, we know what distracts us. We know what blinds us and what makes us not even want to seek the Lord's presence at times. Those are the things we need to get rid of or move away from. We need to go around them if we really, really want the presence of God. And as we direct our minds and we direct our hearts toward God and the things of God, we need to call out to him. That's part of the seeking, right? Sometimes if your dog runs off, you call out to the dog, hoping he'll hear you and come back. But I love that Jeremiah 33:3 verse. Call to me and I will answer you. Whew, what a promise from God. Call to me and I'll answer you. In Isaiah 55:6, it says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. So calling on him is part of the seeking. And he's near right now. So Lord, please open our eyes. Pull back the curtain of our own blindness. Please have mercy on us. We need more of you. Reveal yourself to us. We want more of your presence, Lord. We desperately need more of you. So help us, we pray. Amen. You know what the great promise is to those who seek the Lord? Number one is he'll be found. And number two is that when he is found, there is great reward. And I've got two scriptures to back both of those promises up with. Look at Jeremiah 29, verse 13. We're real familiar with Jeremiah 29:11, but in verse 13, he says, you will seek me and find me when? When you seek me with all your heart. Can I confess something to you this morning? I'm not seeking the Lord with all my heart. Not all of it. Are you? Anybody? Why aren't we? Well, life, right? Life gets in the way. But the promise is there. If we will seek him with all our heart, the promise comes in the beginning of verse 14 is, I will be found by you, declares the Lord. I will be found by you. And when he is found, there is great reward. In that great chapter of faith in Hebrews chapter 11, look at what the writer tells us in verse 6 of Hebrews chapter 11. He says, and without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. There it is. He rewards those who earnestly seek him. How does he reward us? That's up to him. Don't start putting dollar signs to the reward. It could be that. But God rewards us in so many other ways besides financially. And if it's a reward from the Lord, mercy sakes, you know it's going to be good, right? Whatever it is. I want it, don't you? I want the reward of the Lord. I want his favor, and I want his reward. Well, maybe I should stop talking about it, and let's spend some time doing it, all right? Spend some time seeking him. Let's go after him. The Word of God instructs us to seek His presence continually. And we get distracted too easily. So right now, while He is near, let's call upon Him. Because it'll be harder once we leave here. The Word says if we'll draw near to God, He'll draw near to us. And those aren't just cute little sayings you find in fortune cookies. Those are promises. Those are promises from the Word of God. If we will call to Him, He will answer us. So let's call to Him. I'm not going to ask you to stand. In fact, I'm not going to have a dismissal prayer. I'm just going to leave that open. Chris is going to play some anointed music, and you can leave when you're ready. I mean, if you have to hightail it out of here, God bless you. Come back next week. But right now, let's spend some time seeking the presence of the Lord because we know He's here.